Welcome to the MP Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Lenti. My co-host right here is Kyle Heath. How you doing, man? Good to see you again. This is the show where we basically cover gaming industry related news of the last week. And at the start of every episode, we do a little bit of a filler and try to figure out what each other have been up to. And I got some updates for the overall Discord server and stuff I'm excited about in terms of news. But before we get into that, what have you been up to, Kyle? How you doing?
Well, maybe we chilling, baby. We chilling. It's been a good week.
Heck yeah.
I think so. It's big, getting a lot done. Also, I played a couple games. Most of the games I played this week were actually like Nintendo Wii games, since I talked about last week I was fixing some like controllers.
You did, yeah.
I had a ton of Wii remotes I bought and I was fixing a lot of those. So it's gotten to the point now where all the ones I could fix are fixed. So it's just testing them and making sure they work. Then eventually the idea, of course, is to resell them. So it's kind of just, I want to do some extensive testing before I list them just to make sure they're solid. So I had like a couple of the Motion Plus remotes that I had fixed up. So I was testing out like Wii Sports Resort and kind of those like Motion
nice.
Plus games. And so I was playing that. I hadn't played Wii Sports Resort in I don't know how long, but I was having a lot of fun. I played a couple of rounds of like golf and played like Frisbee and stuff like that. So I even did archery. I bust up the nunchuck and did some archery. That was a lot of fun. It's one of those things like it was really fun. I didn't realize how difficult like the last stages and like the course I did were, but it was like I did like beginner too. I think I just did the beginner like thing, but like the last stage I like missed like every arrow because I just wasn't like arcing it correctly. But that was pretty fun.
Yeah, when you said you were gonna test it, I was just like how are you gonna throw it against the wall or like at a TV? Remember how everybody used to do that without the straps?
Yeah, I know. This thing I want to try. I'm gonna make sure I try to sell a strap with each controller. Then again, I don't know that. I mean, it's like there's some games where I feel like it's necessary, but there's also I feel like there's some people that don't even use them. It's like they have the strap, they'll just either take it off or just do something with it. But I don't know. So, but you know, I try to sell a complete package, so we'll see. But yeah, so I was testing that, and so far so good. I think with most of them. There's only one that ended up having like a battery issue. And it was like when I moved the batteries or I was like aggressively moving the remote, it would like disconnect. So that wasn't good, but. Everyone else didn't have an issue with that, so I have to check that one. But yeah, played some Wii Sports Resort. I didn't have a chance to play like too much else. I wanted to try a couple other games. So I'll probably be doing that some this week to test everything out. But yeah, it's been fun. A lot of Wii, but it's about the most of the gaming I think this week for me. I'm trying to think, I don't think it was anything else for me. But yeah, and then of course outside of that, you know, we got the sports, baby. We got playoff football season, so you know I'm kind of tapped in on that.
I'm right there with you.
And yeah, it's
hockey.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's getting crazy too because it's like after football, it's like a couple months, and then like playoff hockey and basketball. So it's like there's just a lot of more playoff sports coming too. So it's like, you know, it's thinking about spring. I feel like the fall's like crazy for sports, and then like. Spring happens, there's like a little bit of a lull, and then it's like heading in spring, summer is like more playoff stuff, so it gets kind of crazy, and you know,
yeah, it's very true.
And in that period, so yeah, it's pretty nice, but so there's some of that, doing some of the first stuff, that's about it. I don't know, you played more Rocket League this week, Mike?
Anything no, crazy? Dude, I actually didn't play any Rocket League at all, now that I think about it. Like, a couple of things that I ended up playing is Fortnite Rocket Racing, which I guess you could say is Rocket League in a way. Rocket League inspired, at least. But I didn't really play that too often. It really just came down to playing the finals a lot. I was streaming that a bunch.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I got on Halo 2 for like a little bit, a couple hours. But I think I'm irritated to the point where I'm just like, dude, I need a break. I just need to walk away from it for a little bit.
And then the finals showed up, you know, so now you have
Yeah, the finals is looking really good. I'm really excited about that. That also inspired me to get back into streaming. And then that got me down into a rabbit hole of like restreaming, because there's been a whole bunch of Twitch updates that some people might be aware of with their level of like transcoding that they're starting to do and the different encoders, which is good. They're a little bit late to the game. YouTube's had it for a while now. For the new GPUs, but it's good to see that they're adding it. And I'm just falling into that. And then, like, I was showing you earlier before we started recording about how I'm pretty excited that I got the vertical format set up. I got all the bit rates correct for like streaming to YouTube, Kick, and Twitch. So I got really excited when I had a funny moment. I sent you the video, and it was like directly taken from Twitch, and it just looks pixelated and like trash. And I'm like, dude, I can't use this. I can't just post this online. It's not going to work. Never mind the fact that I did ultimately put it on my YouTube channel for gaming. But it is what it is. I realized I was like, let me get the better quality, like actually put in a little bit more of an effort. I haven't streamed in a while, and that's been on my mind a lot. I also, like, speaking of sports, man, I went to the AHL Classic outside game in Charlotte. Watched the Checkers win. That was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, just doing the same thing as you, man. Just watching a little bit of NFL, the English Premier League. They also, Everton played in the FA Cup. Watched that. Yeah. And yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Got that win, baby. Yeah. Got that win.
Yeah, and the other thing that we should probably say for like the people that are listening at the start of the episode is I got myself an RSS feed into the Discord. So now we have a bot posting every hour 20 articles and categorizing them with four different categories. And they're posting articles that if anybody that like listens to this podcast or watches on YouTube or Spotify and they want to actually see or get articles curated to them, we have the RSS feeds readily available in the Discord along with the bots posting. And it's still a work in progress to get them like looking good, but I think what we have so far is pretty nice.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, I've been enjoying it. We were like, I mean, we were playing around most of this afternoon, like with some of the like the custom like layouts and stuff that you had for some of the feeds, which was pretty dope. Just to see like a running, I even like made an Apple shortcut that essentially gives me a menu where I can select a topic and it'll load that page in Safari, so I can just go directly to that thing. So it gives me something to do. Like if I'm bored or something and I just want to like use the bathroom or something like that, I can just like go on and be like, oh, what's new right now in gaming news, and just click that and click a topic and just dive. And then you can click on a title and it just brings you right to the article. So
yeah, there's basically like two mindsets that I had with it, right? So initially you and I have been doom scrolling Google News and like pulling up 15 different video game websites that are like curated for the topics that we talk about and react to. And I think what we have now is like we have a bot that basically, logs the, like by posting, it's automatically logging the articles when they're posted that day, which helps for us to like sort it, because Google News, sometimes you can't find articles that are longer than, or that are older than like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
So it's like, dang, man. And I don't want to doom scroll on like Dextero because they post like 50 articles every minute. You know, it's like same thing with The Verge. Like there's so much stuff going on. So it's like now I've curated it to be gaming only. And unfortunately, as I mentioned to you, is gambling also counts as gaming.
Yeah.
So I was able to at least like get the gambling stuff out of there. So if it mentions casinos, I took it out of there. But casinos like in microtransactions are usually using the same articles. So it's like we might miss some stuff here and there. But yeah. I'm looking forward to, I think we've been seeing more. Have you noticed a difference? I've noticed a difference with like stuff I've been trying to find. And I think it's more curated. Like everything's more and more purposeful. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
For what we're looking for.
Yeah. I mean, I think so too. It's definitely, just for the first couple of days here, it's nice to see everything. I didn't really pay attention to like Game Rant. But like I noticed like Game Rant, because I've seen a bunch of Game Rant articles and a lot of them are very opinion based. And so you read the title and it has like a specific structure and they kind of like, I noticed they have a formula, a lot of their stuff. And I've seen like patterns and stuff throughout like different outlets. So it's kind of cool to see kind of real time what all that looks like. And it's pretty nice. And there's a lot of notifications. So, you know, unless you mute it, it's like you get bombarded.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm being kind and not showing the news dump channel. I'm keeping that to the moderators only. Because if I didn't, you're getting hit by 25 articles immediately. Well, like hour one, all the notifications. It sounds like a Mario like notification or something crazy.
Yeah, I'm saying it's pretty wild. I'm excited for it. I think it's gonna make our job easier and kind of just give us more to look at.
I think it's gonna not just make it easier, but make us better. Yeah. Because there's some stuff that we might miss, and to like just to keep like there are more than one website that covers news in the world. It doesn't always have to be in the United States or North America in our time zone. Like this is going to be working 24/7.
Yeah.
Every hour. I mean, 24/7.
I saw it yesterday morning too when I woke up and I saw there were some notifications around like 5, 6 a.m. and I click on them. It's mostly EU outlets, but I'm like, oh yeah, that's when all the EU outlets are doing their thing. Like they're already open. So
100%. Makes sense. So, and honestly, it's not that bad now that I've actually filtered it out. Like since I filtered it out, which was about 8 hours ago or so, it's not posting as often because it's more curated. Before it was like anything that had gaming industry in the title, it would just drop. It was like we were getting random stuff. We were getting a couple of outlets that like a dude was definitely one man shop that was renaming and then republishing, and everything else is the same. Did you notice that?
Like, yeah. There's some odd.
I'm not gonna call him out by name, but I was just like, okay, let's ban that. And like get that out of the way. And it's only gonna get better with time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm excited for it. Should be interesting.
Yes, sir. Well, how about we stop ranting? That was a long little intro, probably longer than we're used to doing. Just wanted to give a channel update for anybody. And let's get into the first article.
Yeah. I mean, it's all sorts. Mentioned Mike. Got a new piece of layout. I'll let the viewers decide what it is. It's pretty out there, but it's pretty nice. And hey, guess what? It actually did work. So Mike's tip beforehand. I had some issues with this little thing down here beforehand, but Mike helped me.
Yeah, we have a little ticker. For the people that are listening, we now have a ticker that you would see normally on like any major news reporting website where it just says breaking news. And it's like, it's literally like right now, it'll say like 5 or 6 minutes. I can't see it right now because I'm on the other side of it.
Yeah.
But you can attest to it, Kyle. It'll actually say like 20 minutes ago, 25 minutes ago or whatever for new posting. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like you showed me this and I was just like, what? This is insane. Yeah. We have to add this. Man.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. So now there's a little more motion to the scene. So always good to have that. Nevertheless, we have a few articles to go through that we have picked out from the from what was available. We're gonna start off with a little bit of an interesting one. We were kind of talking about the order, but I feel like it's a good one to start with, and that is from GamesIndustry.biz. One of the only gaming websites that I love. It's straight news. This is one of those sites, Mike, that is straight news. There's no crap. There's nothing else. Like there's no like there's nothing bright, shiny, like crazy. It's just we give you the news, and they do exclusive stories all the time. It's crazy.
Some NPR style. It's just what it is. Take it.
Listen, Microsoft is passing Apple as the most valuable company in the world. Shares were up 3% at the end of the U.S. financial day last Friday. This is coming from Sophie McAvoy.
Yep. McAvoy. I know that because it's an Irish last name.
Wait, we got you, Sophie. We got you. Microsoft overtook Apple as the most profitable company at the end of last Friday's trading session in the U.S. As reported by CNBC, Microsoft's lead came as a result of an event that took place in San Francisco where the company spoke about AI, highlighting an increase of traffic on GitHub, which Microsoft acquired in 2018 for $7.5 billion. Analysts from investment banking company Piper Sandler noted they were, quote, encouraged by the momentum around the most mature AI products. Microsoft shares increased 3%, $2.89 trillion by the end of the day, while Apple's dropped by the same amount, lowering its valuation to $2.87 trillion. AI is a core part of Microsoft's overall strategy. Last month, the company was accused of using AI to promote indie games.
Yeah. Remember that?
I don't remember
Xbox. Yeah, you will. They're saying Microsoft, but it's really Xbox under the banner. So it was Xbox being accused of the AI stuff to promote the indie games, or grabbing like other people's work and then redoing it in AI.
It's crazy.
Yeah, there are a bunch of studios underneath the Xbox umbrella that I've done in the past. One of them is 343 taking fan art and then changing it up a little bit in AI and then posting it on their Twitter handles. Kind of wild.
We will get into the 343 slander, at least right now, you know, but
I have too much to talk about.
But I will say, but, Both of these companies, Mike, these are multi-trillion dollar companies. Everyone knows them, right? I mean, they're household names. Sir. They always, probably always will be. But yeah, this is like you look at that, oh, it passes Apple. And then you look at the two valuations, it's like, I mean, like, I don't, like, it's kind of interesting, but at the same time, it's just like, I don't know. It's hard for me to care because it's just like, all right, that's cool. Like whatever. Yeah. Like, Microsoft passes Apple. All right, good job, you know? Yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, it's somewhat interesting to see, but at the same time, it's just like, I don't know. It's just so, like, little, I feel like, in terms of, like, you know, trying to get the edge over one another. And I feel like there'll probably be a battle like this for some time, at least I think. Which is going to be, like, slight, you know, bump in each one.
Yeah. I think it's been the, like, it's always been a battle, I think, for a very long time. At least for the last, like, 10 years. Microsoft, to me, has always been the most profitable company in the world. Just because it's, like, everybody needs their software, it seems. Yeah. And not everybody needs Apple software. Apple does have, like, a massive setup when it comes to, like, their products, for sure. Probably more than Microsoft. But it's, like, Microsoft is a software company at the end of the day. And now they're getting more and more into hardware. So it's, I'm not too surprised by this. I think it's very interesting that AI is the reason for it, though. Or what they're saying is.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually know that they bought GitHub. That's news to me.
Yeah. Oh, so, no. I didn't remember when it first came out that they had bought GitHub. Because I was like, I just graduated college. And then like a couple months later, they were like, oh, we're investing in open source. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I thought it was interesting. Yeah.
GitHub's very useful. I've like only recently started getting into it because of the whole soft modding stuff that I've been doing on the Xbox. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff is on it. Is on GitHub that you need. It's pretty cool.
It's where a lot of source code's, you know, held. It's funny now too, because there's different, I've used so many different repository tools, like version control tools since I've like gotten out of college, whether it's like GitLab or Bitbucket, like there's a lot of variations of it.
Yeah.
But I know GitHub is very much like, if you're doing something open source, most people just turn to GitHub because it is a good tool.
Yeah. That's what I've noticed. And a lot of people are like creating profiles on there, like almost like a social media.
Yeah.
It's just like getting a following. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. It's something too with like the developer sphere too. Cause like if you've ever gone to a GitHub profile, have you seen the little like the tiles for like days of activity? Yes. And there's some people that like they'll either try to like make a design out of it. I've seen that a couple times. I've also seen people just try to like fill in each block. So they'll try and like they want to go hard in programming. They're like they make it a goal to try and fill like each block with a color, just so they have activity.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I love it. That's like an interesting like culture kind of thing.
It is.
Yeah, it's very internet culture is wild.
It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. You know, I think AI too. Like, it's just wild where that's gonna be. Like, where that's gonna go. And there's like a lot, especially in tech. There's just like I feel like we're still at a point where there's kind of like we're kind of wondering what's gonna happen. And now that we're seeing it everywhere, it's like. It could get to a point where it gets scary, and so, you know, so I don't know. For me, it's like I try not to think too much into it, but it's like it can get pretty crazy. I feel like it could get really crazy.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. It's gonna be interesting to see how this year plays out, in particular just the amount of layoffs and everything that's going on, and just the integration of AI into everything we do. Like Samsung released their new phone as well that's going to be integrated with AI like hand in hand, and I think that's going to be the future of all electronic devices. Like I could see Apple doing that in no time. I don't have an Apple phone. Do they currently have that?
What do you mean, like, for the most, in terms of AI, like what kind?
So one of the AI things that they have for the new Samsung phone is live translation on the phone. So if you're talking to somebody of a different language, it'll translate directly into your ear, and whatever you say will translate to them.
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. As far as I know, Apple, I don't think they have that now. I mean, they're always behind, so it's kind of we'll get that in two iOSs from now, I'm sure. But
possibly,
the closest thing we have now is when someone leaves a voicemail, it actually translates in real time what they're saying. If you have your phone, like if you're looking at your phone, that's pretty cool.
That's kind of cool.
That's the latest feature, like call feature. I think they've released is like the real time. Voicemail.
Is it translation or is it a caption?
I think it's just caption. Like that's it. That's all it does now. But I'm sure, like I said, you know, I mean, like I'm saying, it'll be a couple of generations, but we're probably going to get something like that, you know,
yeah,
in a couple of years.
Cool. Regardless, it's going to be interesting to see how these two companies battle it out as rivals. But yeah, going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty nuts. I mean, I'm just I don't where talk to stuff. I keep like every now and again, I'll glance at our ticker and I'm just like, oh, PS2 games that have aged well. It's just hopefully it's not too distracting. I think it's interesting though, just to see like these are the articles we miss, ladies and gentlemen, you know? Like
Well, the whole mindset is like a little sidetrack. The whole mindset is that you should be interested in all news if you're listening to us in the first place or watching our videos. So the ticker is like for people just watching. Like
it's for the real news and gamers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you want to see stuff and then you can be like, oh crap, that's cool. And then they hit pause and then they can search it up, go read an article, and then come back to us.
Like, true.
Yeah.
I like it.
Or join the Discord and get the ticker yourself. Probably one of the two.
You just have it, I don't know, you open a browser. It'd be like 95% white space and then the ticker.
But... Yeah, that's true. True. I can always publish the JavaScript code.
There you go. You can import it into your own Discord if you know how to hack. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
Well, we do have a lot of it's the world of hacking. It's crazy. I think the world of physical games we've talked about a couple times, right, Mike?
Yes. And, So
and Ubisoft made some announcements. I think we talk about it.
Yeah. I'm going to read this title and then I'm going to describe a meme that I saw that was actually hilarious. Did you send it to me? You might have sent it to me.
Maybe.
But here it is. It's this article is coming from Kotaku by the writer John Walker, and it is titled Ubisoft Wants You to Be Comfortable in Not Owning Your Games. The latest rebranding of subscription services Ubisoft Plus. I'm going to call it U Plus. It's going to be easier.
U Plus
accompanies the release of Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, which has been, apparently it got like review bombed and it was really bad. And then now it's finally out. So people are excited. I saw some people playing it and they look like they were actually having fun.
Yeah. So I heard mixed things. Yeah.
The meme I saw was genius. So it was like, it was one of the guys from The Office, the American show. And I can't remember his name for some stupid reason. It's been a while since I watched The Office. But basically the character is pointing at the top. And it's like it's in an office setting, obviously. And he has like a piece of paper that he's essentially going to write on, but you can like fold it up. What's it called? Like, it's like a presentation board, but like sheet of paper.
Yeah.
So he's like, it's a drawing. Yeah, it's a drawing. And it says like, if you don't own the game and it peel it over, it's not piracy if you steal it. it's just like, that's true. If you don't own it, it's not piracy.
That's funny.
Yeah, so silly. So let's go ahead and get into the article by on Kotaku. So with the pre-release of Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown started, Ubisoft has chosen this week to rebrand to U Plus subscription services and introduce a PC version of the classics tier at a lower price. And a big part of this, says the publisher's director of subscriptions, Philippe Tremblay, hopefully, is getting players comfortable, in quotes, with not owning their games. It's hard to keep up with how often Ubisoft has rebranded its online portals for its games, with Uplay, Ubisoft Game Launcher, Ubisoft Connect, Uplay Plus, Uplay Passport, Ubisoft Club, and now Ubisoft Plus Premium and Ubisoft Plus Classics, all the names used over the last decade or so. It's also seemed faintly bewildering why there's a demand for any of them, given Ubisoft released only 5 non-mobile games last year. Because everything got postponed indefinitely.
Crazy. You know what's wild? They have all those names and stuff. But what we got, Xbox Game Pass. We have, I don't know what else, like Steam. Like,
oh, dude.
It's like very simple conventions that are stuck to.
Oh, you got Xbox Game Pass, like the Ultimate Game Pass, like the Xbox app, which thank God they got rid of the companion app, the Xbox companion. Oh, that was terrible. The other one they had was there's also Epic Games. There's Steam. There's also, let me see if I can actually just search launcher. Rockstar Games Launcher. There's the Slippy Launcher if you play Animele. There's Epic Games. What's the other one? Ubisoft has like 3 that I've had. And there's one more. Oh yeah, EA Games. And there's stupid stuff that they have. They have like two different ones. Like one works, one doesn't, and it's I hate it.
And I said about Microsoft, but they did actually change like their naming a little bit with their tiers recently. So it's like Xbox, Game Pass Core, PC Core. Like, I don't know, it is a little weird, I guess, in that regard, but maybe not the best example. But Ubisoft's out here.
Yeah. So let's continue on. However, a demand there apparently is, says Tremblay in a interview with GI Biz. He claims the company's subscription service had its biggest ever month, October 2023, and that the service has had millions of subscribers and over a billion hours played. Of course, a lot of this would be a result of Ubisoft's various moments of refusing to release games to Steam, forcing PC players to use its services, and likely opting for a month's subscription rather than the full price of the game they were looking to buy. But still, clearly people are opting to use it. But it remains strange why enough would want to subscribe. And at $18 a month, it's not cheap to a single publisher's output, which is, I didn't even know it was that much. That's crazy. That's not a diss of Ubisoft games, although you might want to apply your own. I like this article. He's spicy. Something that we would be as true were to Activision, Blizzard, or EA Games. That's the other one, Battle.net. Forgot about that launcher. Yeah. Annoying. You can subscribe to Game Pass or PlayStation Plus and get a broad range of hundreds of games from dozens of publishers, or you can pay significantly more to only get the games made by one single publisher, and indeed a publisher with a very distinct style of game. TV networks and movie companies tried this, and those numbers are thinning out fast, with many already compromising by returning their show to the larger streamers. Yeah.
Yeah.
No crap. This is what happens, man. When you add commodity to everything, modify everything. How do you take it so far?
I mean, yeah, spitting facts. We've already hit to that too. I think just the amount of launchers and stuff, it's like, it's exhausting. And so, I mean, this thing, like, one that always comes to mind for me is the Bethesda launcher. That did not survive. And it was like, they wanted to do, like, with Fallout 76, that was the big thing, is like, you had to get on Bethesda launcher. Like, that was great. And then eventually they were like, oh no, we're killing the launcher, because it turns out people don't want another launcher on their computer. And like, people aren't really playing the game. And we're moving it to Steam, so, I mean, here's how to transfer your saves and everything, because, we have to kill this. That was another.
And Bethesda is also a part of Xbox, too.
Yeah.
And there are other ones, too. Like, Luna is one, or Amazon has their own game launcher as well.
Yeah.
And I think that one you even have to do like through the web browser. This stuff is trash. I think every gamer that's ever had multiple games from different publishers and has to deal with this is upset.
Yeah.
And always has been. Yeah. It's like I'm just preaching to the choir.
Yeah. I think I will say the coolest game launcher was probably the GOG launcher. It was like Galaxy Games, whatever. I forget what the acronym is. But that launcher was cool. I don't know if it's like this anymore, but I remember years ago was you could essentially load different libraries into just one launcher and then just see everything there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But yeah.
It's silly. So let's continue a little bit further. So what's more chilling about all this, however, is when Tremblay moves on to how Ubisoft wishes to see a consumer shift similar to that of the market for CDs and DVDs, where people have moved over to Spotify and Netflix instead of buying physical media to keep on their own shelves. Given that most people, while being a part of the problem, also think of this as a problem, it's so weird to see it phased as if some faulty thinking in the company's audience. Dude, before I even get into this next little section that obviously Tremblay has actually said, this is ridiculous, because on Spotify, it's people are accepting of not owning the physical copies because it's a subscription service, but also similar to a radio station. That's why TuneIn has been in existence for like ever, and SiriusXM. It's like, yeah, you're paying for the service, but you're paying to listen to certain things. This is just on demand, and people are okay with that. Same thing with like YouTube Premium.
Yeah.
You don't own the videos, but you're watching it. It's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to deal with ads.
Right.
That's why it's there. Same thing with Netflix. That's no different than cable. Video games, like, what's he trying to do? Just imagine a Blockbuster just completely empty, and it's just digital codes, you know, from like the 90s.
Yeah,
that doesn't work.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. I don't know. I think too, when I get more into like looking at like retro games and stuff like that, It's like, yeah, just that physical media, and I know you've talked about it too, just having that physical copy is like, so there's just something special about that, and so it just sucks that we're losing that.
Yeah. Well, I think the ultimate problem with the physical copies of games outside of Nintendo, it seems like they're all requiring you to be connected to the internet regardless of what you have set up. Like, if you're trying to play any Xbox game in the modern era and you want to play with your friends, you have to have internet to play with your friends in the same room. Like, you can't just connect two Xboxes together. You have to be connected to a server. That server is a piece of crap that's been outdated for the last, like, 8 years. It only gets worse every day. It's like, dude, what the hell? Let me have my own server. Or, like, let me just work locally. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, you definitely can. I mean, yeah, man, there's something that really sucks about that. And, you know, it's just kind of, I think it is kind of the new reality for a lot of this, is just kind of, you know, we're going away from physical media. I mean, and to a certain extent, I can get it. I mean, because even, like, I keep coming back to it, but that new Final Fantasy that's coming out on PS5 and it's multi-disc, it is insane to me. Like, that's got to be a huge game. It's like, even, and it goes back to other articles I've seen recently about, like, you know, devs, like, you know, the reason for, like, a lot of, I think a lot of studios now, maybe, like, that struggle. It's like, they work for years on a game because it takes that long and a ton of resources to make a fully complete title now. And it's like, if that doesn't do well, it's like, well, you're just kind of like screwed unless you have like some other kind of way to make money. So it's kind of the reality of it. And so you make these giant games and games are only getting bigger, it feels like. So it's like,
that's true.
Just gets harder to print to physical media, because I don't think physical media is like able to, at least from what I can see, is like kind of able to keep up with the demand that, you know, it's needed.
You're basically going to have to start getting like M.2 drives
coming with like your game. Ones, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like once.
It's crazy. I will say it's cool. Like, but like, just like the games I have like on my shelf back here, it's just cool to like go back there, and just like open up the game, and be like, oh yeah, I still own this. Like, you know, it's like, no one can take that from me. You know,
that's the thing. Having the old consoles, having the old games. Like, I have an original Xbox at my feet, literally on the ground, and it's like, it's so nice for me to just go over here, grab any of the games that I have, or the ones that I have on the hard drive, and just load it up, no issues. And you can't really do that anymore. It's very unfortunate. The only, like I said, the only place you can really do that is like Nintendo.
And like, you know, I'm sure we talked about it before and I hear about it all the time, but like, I think it's more and more becoming more and more prevalent each year of like trying to like bolster game preservation, especially for like older generations too. It's like, you hear about all the game stores, like Xbox 360 I think shutting down kind of their main store, and it's like, there's a lot of digital only games that were there, and it's like, there's people that, you know, there's luckily people that have, you know, they have like a lot of those games, and I'm sure it's kind of a way to still, you know, find a way to share that. But I mean, it's like, you know, a lot of stuff you don't own, and it's like, you know, it kind of sucks because like a lot of the media could just be lost, and there's a lot of great games out there that, you know, weren't on disc. And so that's why I'm such a like proponent of emulation, and why I have like loved just to get into it more, because it's like, it's the only way that we're going to be able to play a lot of these games at, you know, a certain point, I feel like. So it's important to kind of understand it and try and get involved and, you know, relive some of your history, you know?
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct. There's really not much there's not much more to add on. It's just, it's really unfortunate. I think the younger generations of gamers that have never had to deal with that before, they've like, there's been a whole new generation of gamers coming up that never owned a physical copy in their life.
It's true, yeah.
Just downloading it online, and online, it's like they think they own it on the hard drive, but it's like the moment those servers get turned off or taken down, it's over. It's like, it ain't gonna work. Like, what do you do that?
The game is just not gonna work. It's like, yeah, man, it's I don't know. Yeah, it's I know the, especially like, you know, the older I'm getting, the more it's like, oh, this could become a problem. So it's just like,
oh, it's 100% an issue.
It'll be interesting to see kind of how things evolve and, you know, in the future. Because it'd be, I don't know, it'd be cool to actually own, you know, the titles, you know?
Yeah. It's, it is what it is. But I think what we'll finish with on this article is what Tremblay ended up saying. And it's just a quote taken directly from the interview at GI Biz. So one of the things we saw is that gamers are used to, a little bit like DVD, having and owning their games. That's the consumer shift that needs to happen. They got comfortable not owning their CD collection or DVD collection. That's a transformation that's been a bit slower to happen. As gamers grow comfortable in that aspect, you don't lose your progress. If you resume your game at any time, your progress, your progress file is still there. That's not been deleted. You don't lose what you built in the game or your engagement with the game. So it's about feeling comfortable with not owning your game. It's like, so you want us to continually play, like pay a subscription in perpetuity. And the moment you stop paying the subscription, you lose access to the game. It's kind of like holding joy hostage.
Yeah, in a way. It's true. I mean, I will say, like, and this is no dock at like Game Pass or anything like that, because I think they're great services. And I think the fact that you can instantly, you know, for a small fee each month, have access to a library that you can share with the other people that have the subscription. So like you all instantly have a lot of games you could probably play together, and you know, and there's certainly a lot of fun to be had there. So it's not necessarily discounting the services, but yeah, especially for like kind of, you know, newer AAA titles. It's nice to just be able to have a copy of that and just know that you have it forever, right? So hopefully, you know, we can, you know, get to a model at some point that'll work for that. That'll help like preserve that, because yeah, it's certainly something that's concerning, especially as we see a bunch of services shut down across older consoles and everything. So
yeah, I think the main issue with the subscription, well, I think the one proponent to have subscription services is what you said, but also the access to have your game anywhere remotely while the servers are on. Yep. So like Game Pass is great because it's perfect for people that want to test out a game for the first time. Yep. You just want to give like a trial run. That is fantastic. You can also check out all the new indie devs because they have a great indie program for people to come in there and like unleash new games. And it's like normally you wouldn't buy an indie game, but if it's included in the Game Pass, it's like that gives them an opportunity to make some money.
It's
like new experiences as well.
Yeah.
Dude, just the absolute convenience of having it on all my consoles and then load up on any device from wherever I am. It's fantastic.
I mean, yeah, it's unbeatable.
I love it.
And that's certainly another aspect of that. But yeah, I mean, you know, and there's, I've heard interviews from like developers and stuff all the time that say like just the ability to have their game in front of hundreds of thousands of millions of people like at an instant. And then having in front of all those eyes is like something that has never been the case until now. So,
crazy value right there.
Yeah. And they, you know, if it's success, like, hey, they get paid a lot of money and they continue making games. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the next one. Speaking of portable games, I think this would go in pretty solidly, I think.
Yeah. Listen, I you know, kind of in a lot of my free time recently, I've been seeing like a bunch of, whether it's like, you know, gaming related mods or like repair stuff for like older consoles, stuff like that. Like I've been really getting into hardware side of things and kind of just seeing what's possible in terms of hardware. So when I saw this article, I felt like I had to jump on it. You know, there was a YouTuber. This is coming from Kotaku, Kyle Barr wrote this article. Sup, Kyle? I like that name. You know what I'm saying? this gentleman made a portable PS5 console. Kyle said it's, quote, a wild portable alternative, PlayStation portal, that is. It's definitely not a handheld, but it would easily fit in a backpack. I'll read this in the perspective of Mr. Barr, because you know what? I don't know if he has his, if he says I, but no, I don't feel like playing juggling words today. So, do you want a slim PlayStation 5? I ask you that question, Mike, open-ended.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Pretty cool. Like, I don't know, the systems are pretty neat. But anyway, how about one that's so thin it could easily slide into your backpack's laptop sleeve? A little more intriguing, right?
Okay, yeah, I'm listening.
That's what one DIYer managed to do with his base PS5. Again, showing up Sony, which still lags behind in the begrudging ultra mobile handheld console market. It's kind of crazy. I watched the video. So there's like a nice like 20-minute video on his YouTube channel where he kind of disclosed all the details behind it. And he mentioned in the video it's been like 10 years since we've had like a portable PlayStation console of any kind, you know, that's released, right? So Yeah. It's been quite some time, and I didn't think about that until it was mentioned in the video. I was like, I guess it has been, you know, a decade at this point. However, YouTuber Matthew Perks of the channel DIY Perks' latest video shows how he managed to take the regular PlayStation 5 console and slim it down by an incredible degree, all while still keeping just as cool as the console is in a massive heatsink fan and shell. He avoided his warranty in the process, so that's it. You know,
obviously, yeah, that's a guarantee.
Yeah, you open up your process, you open up your console, you know what you're doing. But yeah, again, super long video. I'll just continue on with some of the article that we can discuss. What's incredible about this build is just how much Perks was able to take all the base components of a PS5 and translate them into such a thin form factor. He uses the console's actual motherboard, which, ignoring the power supply, is pretty much everything the console needs to run as a PS5 once connected to a display. While the outside remained unchanged, the original PS5 has had marked changes internally throughout the near 4-year lifespan. Most importantly, the motherboard has shrunk over time, while the console's heat sinks are redesigned to add more heat pipes and remove shielding. Perks had to rebuild the heatsink and fan design from the ground up, but once he did, he claimed in testing the CPU was only reaching about 42 degrees Celsius, though it's likely hotter internally. That was with the fans running at full blast, so the console could easily reach a normal 55 to 60 degrees Celsius. It normally does under load without drowning out the area with fan noise. It's also quite a beast. Instead of an LCD panel, Perks put in a 14-inch 4K OLED display, which he yoinked right off a busted Alienware laptop with 2 5-watt drivers and a miniature subwoofer for the sound that comes out of 2 stereo side speakers. Now, the elephant in the room is obviously the battery. On average, the regular PS5 draws 200 watts at full load, so Perks came up with a 250-watt power brick and his own custom cabling to complete the job. And that way, the device still needs a full wired connection at all times, though it does, he only needs to set it up near an outlet to enjoy the full capacity of his PlayStation. What Perks ends up with is a device that could look like any device you pick up off the shelf, but it's less than 50% as big as even the newer, slimmer PlayStation, all with a high-end inbuilt screen. Of course, this isn't exactly what one might expect from today's handheld consoles, which are much smaller and much less capable than a full PlayStation 5. However, Sony's last attempt at portable gaming was a $200 PlayStation Portal, a streaming-only device that, while fine for what it is, hardly ticks any boxes of what players expect from today's portable paradigm. Perks' product is far bigger than your average Steam Deck, though he did show how this design is better for multiplayer experiences than the small 7-inch screen usually is. Sony has long been burned by the PlayStation Vita, its last real attempt at a handheld experience. Roleplay doesn't have nearly the same appeal as a dedicated console capable of playing your PS games offline and on the go. We know that Sony can make such a device, but we have our doubts while we've ever have one. We have doubts for ever have one in our hand, at least not anytime soon. I mean, yeah, I'm just gonna play the video a little bit, kind of while we talk. This is it was quite the feat. I was like looking through. He kind of like walked through the design, kind of had the iterations that went through. But I won't get into too many details. But essentially, it's like he designed like a whole like heatsink from scratch, and like he sourced one out, and he had to go through a couple iterations to dissipate the heat correctly so that it would actually keep the device stable.
That's so crazy.
And he even like created his own like little like kind of nickel plated kind of, I guess, I don't know, like
heatsink.
Yeah, heatsink cap, yeah. For the CPU, and it was pretty cool how he did that, because he did it like he like essentially took a copper one and just nickel plated it himself, and then like added the liquid metal and everything for cooling. And then he showed kind of making the cable and how that looks. It looks pretty neat. It's like a little it looks like it's just a little cylinder cable he just plugs in the back, and then he has full power.
It's so wild.
I mean, when he's showing off the device, I mean, this thing, it just looks beautiful. It's like this nice 4K OLED display on this, and then the whole console's behind it, and it's like pretty quiet too in terms of, you know, probably your typical laptop or PlayStation. So it's a fully working thing, and it's a fully working PlayStation 5, and you can just take it wherever and have it on the desk, and all of a sudden you're playing that. But yeah, he was like showing some, you know, like some, they were playing Rocket League on at one point, and so it's like a nice split screen, and it worked pretty well. It looked beautiful. So yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting, because you see a lot of stuff like this, and you're just like, I hope to be this smart one day. You know what I'm saying? Where you could just like think up a design like this, because this is insane. The amount of time that probably went into this, just coming up with something like that is wild. But yeah. But I think the design itself could be interesting. I don't know how many people would actually buy it if Sony was to manufacture something like this. But yeah, this design is certainly out of the box. Very interesting.
Yeah, this is incredible. I'm looking at it, and dude, this, oh my gosh, I just had an epiphany. What have I been saying for the last 2 years? Take the PlayStation and put it inside a Sony TV.
It can be done.
This could be, just saying. This could be, this is a prototype right here, man.
Yeah.
This is sick. Be
a big TV, right? Just get a little like portable TV and then smack it in.
So sick. Yeah, I had no idea about this. I saw it in passing with the bot like posting in the Discord and trying to check it out. But this is phenomenal quality.
Yeah.
I'm definitely trying to watch this in totality. So it's 18 minutes long. It's at DIY Perks on YouTube, and the title is called Building the World's First PlayStation 5 Tablet Edition. It's incredible, man. This is as an engineer, this is blowing my mind.
Yeah, no,
and I really want to get into this.
I'm mainly software, but as a aspiring kind of DIYer, it's interesting to see kind of, you know, I always get mind blown by like these different things, whether it's this or like just modifying any sort of console, making it your own. It's like, it's always interesting to me.
It absolutely is. There's really not much else to say. I just want one.
Yeah, I know.
Is he selling this?
Shut up. It's an interesting prototype, but yeah, I think, but yeah, I mean, there really isn't much more than that. It's just like, I mean, I feel like to fully take this in, you'd probably have to watch the video segment, but I mean, it's just, it looks really interesting. And again, it's just something that is like, this guy deserves like all the views on this video, because it's just so impressive.
100%, yeah. I mean, right now he has 1.3 million views in a 2-day period. Totally deserved. Yeah. And this article has been posted for the last 5 hours of our like finding. Yeah. So this is pretty fascinating, yeah, man. I'm very excited to see if this inspires Sony to be like, oh yeah, there might be a market for this. This video went viral.
Yeah.
Don't we have like a TV like line?
Snack TV in like, it, and like, you know, have a little TV, and then we could be like, oh wait, M2 Podcast, we have to like credit them because they came up with the idea. And then Mike makes all the money forever, and then just leaves. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not gonna leave.
I will say this though. DIY Perks, you got my subscription. That's all I'm
saying. Oh yeah, that's exactly what I just did while you were talking. I was like, click, switch profile account, subscribe.
I'm all about it, man. It's so crazy. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's this one channel too. I forget the name. I'll have to tell you like afterwards, because like this is another one where like it's a guy that builds like, he built like an entire like acrylic shell for like a PS1, and like he had to take the exact measurements and like build it out with like all his equipment, and like he 3D printed a bunch of parts. It's like, it was really sick. I'll have to say that, because it's another kind of like engineering feat, I feel like.
Stuff. Dude, I'm all about engineering feats for sure. I got a lot of stuff I could send you as well.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I always want to learn more about this stuff, so I'm always down for that kind of stuff. But yeah,
there is something like kind of odd about, like, I won't say odd, but one of the top comments on this article is actually pretty good. It's like, yeah, Mizoku Ranma, whoever you might be, wrote, I'm impressed. I feel like Sony's failure to do anything like this is a lot more related to the lack of interest rather than a lack of talented engineers. Like, yeah, that's probably true. Sony makes great products.
Yeah.
They just don't have anybody up at the top saying, hey, take the Sony PlayStation and put it in a Sony TV, and we'll put Sony speakers there, and then we'll all of a sudden have an all-in-one kit for anybody to game on.
Yeah. I mean, and you got to think, there's got to be some engineers at Sony that are super creative, but, you know, it's just, it just doesn't, their ideas can't make it out, because either, you know, it's not, you know, viable business, or it's just not viable, like, you know, I don't know, technical overhead or whatever, supply chain overhead, I don't know. But it probably stops along the chain somewhere. But yeah, it'd be super cool to just like, I mean, this kind of stuff when, you know, someone has free time and they just, they're super smart, they can do something like this. And yeah, it'd be cool to see stuff like experiments like this from companies like Sony. But, you know, they won't put a PlayStation on the TV, so like, what can we expect from them? Like, you know,
I don't expect much from Sony anymore. I really don't. Just proprietary stuff that they're always going to keep tagging on their products. Huh. Proprietary hard drive. proprietary disk drive. Listen, like, what?
Yeah, disk drive is kind of whack. Xbox with the, you know, whole memory system's kind of whack with their, like, kind of proprietary memory banks for the back of the Series X. But you know what?
Oh, yeah. You can get around that, though. I'm not going to tell you how. Oh,
okay.
But you can get around it.
Okay, I see. So. I don't know the Series X, so, you know, I don't particularly care too much. But hey, one day if I buy it, I'm sure I'm going to get the console one day when it's, you know, one, you know, it gets becomes like retro, quote unquote. Anyway, besides the point, Mike, you know who is out here doing creative things and changing the game for how we detect cheaters, handle them?
Somehow, Activision Blizzard? Is that who you're going to go with?
Somehow. Call of Duty, of all games, you know? Getting creative. And they continue to be creative with how they handle their anti-cheat.
Yes, it's about time, too, because cheating in video games is running rampant. I'm seeing it at all levels of games, at all different platforms. It's getting out of control. But this article is coming from TechRadar, one of the many places that we've always checked out. And it is Demi Williams is actually the writer of this article. So the title of the article is Call of Duty's anti-cheat update will close down the game if it detects aim assist on mouse and keyboard, which is pretty sick. And I'm wondering if they're actually going to go into explaining how that works. Now, I don't know if you know or not, because you usually play mouse and keyboard, don't you?
Yeah, mostly. But,
so what some people will do is that when your computer senses an input on your gamepad, where aim assist is definitely going to have it, your controller, people will tape or like have a discharge button or something on the controller so it's always active, and then they'll play with mouse and keyboard. So the game thinks you're playing with the with the controller because it'll sense the controller input first, but you can override it with the mouse and keyboard. Now, there are several several games that I know of that have done away with that pretty simple, like on easy anti-cheat. So let's see what Call of Duty has in store. So Call of Duty's anti-cheat software will now detect if a player is using aim assist on mouse and keyboard, and it will shut down their game. In a recent post shared on Twitter or X via IGN, Activision announced that its anti-cheat technology, commonly known as Ricochet, to players, has been improved and now features the capability to catch cheaters in the act. Our security detection systems now target players using tools to activate aim assist while using a mouse and keyboard. The Call of Duty application will close if detected, the post reads. By the way, there are several, remember the Corona Zen that we talk about so many times, or the Zim? People are plugging in mouse and keyboards into those things and repathing themselves to controllers. So I wonder if that'll actually pick it up. And it, oh yeah, in the article it shows. Cheaters, let's get into it. Dude. Oh, I see it all the time. Repeated use of these tools may lead to further account action. Please, permaban, hardware ban, IP ban, fry their CPU. Anyways, by the way, side note about frying CPUs, YouTube now knows when you're using ad blocker, and it is forcing your CPU to sweat more, and is sending unnecessary stuff to it.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Fun little fact. Yeah, so don't use Chrome and turn off hardware acceleration, or you're going to get cooked. All right, let's get into it. So this new Ricochet update applies to Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Modern Warfare 2, and Warzone on the PC. The console version of these games, however, features a built-in aim assist, which offers players some help when aiming with the analog sticks, a topic of discussion in the community that some believe give others an unfair advantage. The good old keyboard and mouse versus gamepad debate. We could have that debate forever. Divide our entire audience. So both PlayStation and Xbox consoles also allow users to plug in with the keyboard and mouse via USB, allowing them to play games that way. But when done so with Call of Duty, the console's aim assist will detect the new device and be turned off, as it should. You shouldn't have aim assist on mouse and keyboard. It is. A lot of people, brain dead, don't realize that. There are third-party controller emulators like Zim and Corona Zen that can be used to combat this, making the game think the player is using a PlayStation or Xbox controller when they're not. This, for obvious reasons, isn't allowed. Activision cracked down on cheaters last year by providing a host of new updates to its Ricochet technology over months, including the ability to detect third-party hardware and other security measures. In June 2023, it introduced Hallucinations, which spawns fake players to trick cheaters into exposing themselves using the anti-cheat software. That's awesome. And in November, added a measure to disable cheaters' parachutes. I saw the clips of people jumping out of the airplanes and just plummeting to the ground and dying instantly.
And then they land on the, they get res on the building, and then they fall off the building, kills them again. It's like it's the funniest thing ever. It's like their fall like acceleration is immediately turned up to like a million, so they just die over everything they fall off of.
This is what needs to happen. You don't ban them. You just troll the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Because how many times, like, dude, there were kids. I thought they were joking, but they were dead serious. They were taking videos on their phone of like that happening to them, and they're posting it online complaining that their game was broken and how bad Call of Duty is. And you can see a Cronus in like the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. It's like, bro, what is he doing?
I saw one that was complaining.
Trolled.
Yeah, like I saw another one that was complaining that had like blatant cheats, and like he said, I don't get what's happening, and like he like captured a screen wrong, or like he filmed it in a way where you saw like the boxes or whatever. It's like, dude, it's so funny.
You're talking about he was being briefed by another team where they were stacking, which is basically like all three players on the same team or in the same location.
Yeah.
So if you turn the corner, you insta die. Yeah. And he was complaining and like talking trash, and then after he dies, he like immediately started complaining. He's like, dude, what? So many people are cheating, dude. It's so crazy.
It's wild. Yeah, like there was one guy that complained about getting team killed because it was like three or four guys running up the stairs because they knew he was cheating, so they started hunting him down, and obviously he couldn't kill them all at once, and like he was sitting there complaining when he was like blatantly cheating. Like, so funny.
Yeah, there were like when Halo Infinite was really popular, there were so many cheaters that came out of the woodworks and started cheating in there. But the Halo community has been so small, like so niche for so long now that everybody that like pretty much knows each other. So somebody new comes into the scene that nobody ever recognized. You're like, okay, what's the deal? Their initial reaction is like, maybe they're cheating. And then you find out it's like, okay, they were pro in another game, or they were like high level in another game. Okay, they're legit. But what's this guy with like the fake gamer tag name, right? And then you start looking at it, it's like, this guy's obviously cheating. So people will like literally just betray him right off spawn because like Halo players hate cheaters more than anything. So it's like you start cheating, it's like, okay, insta team kill or quit out immediately, no matter what, this person has to lose, like briefing. It's so weird, dude. Why are people cheating in video games in 2024?
I don't get it.
How is it possible?
It's 2024, Mike. We're almost 3 weeks into this year, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
That's scary. Yeah.
I mean, that's
like, week and a half. Yeah.
Wild, dude. But COD's taking the best approach ever out of every game, which is kind of weird to say, but it's like they're just trolling the cheaters, which I think's the funniest way.
Yeah, let me ask you something. Are you a like, do you think aim assist is okay on controller? Are you one of those mouse and keyboard players where you think people who play on controllers have a huge advantage?
Yeah, well, I don't know. See, the thing is, I'm very jaded because I'm not like a super competitive gamer, so like I'm not like if I die to someone on a controller, it's like if I learn a controller and like I dedicated time to it, I could probably like, you know, get pretty good at it. At least I think in my mind, probably not, but I feel like it's like for the longest time I haven't been super competitive, and I know I'm kind of an average player, and I just don't dedicate time to try and get better. So it's like it never really bothered me too much. But I mean, you know, in the debate of controller versus keyboard and mouse, at the end of the day, they both have their advantages and disadvantages. And like those who are really good, just really good with whatever input can make it work. I will say, like, there's some games that don't make sense to go keyboard and mouse, and I think controller is like, you know, the way.
Oh yeah.
And like everyone competing in COD, I'm pretty sure everyone uses controllers, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think there's
it's a requirement in the league.
Right.
Which is why.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to compete, like, you might as well use controller. Everyone's using it anyway. So, I mean, I feel like there's no real debate for a game like Call of Duty. Now, a game like CS, there's no debate keyboard and mouses. How you have to play, right? Like, I don't think you can play. I don't think you can play. Yeah. I don't think you can play controller on CS. So, that's one of those.
You can.
I wouldn't want to. I'll tell you that. I feel like if you want to be actually good, like, get good at that input. I mean, you know, it's game by game, case by case, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's 100% circumstantial. Like, I feel the best balance I've ever seen in terms of mouse and keyboard aim assist. Well, yeah, mouse and keyboard and controllers with aim assist was actually Splitgate. Splitgate probably had the best balance I think I've ever seen in shooters. Also because there was a whole other element of you had to be able to port across the map, and your movement meant a lot. So you had a huge movement advantage if you played mouse and keyboard, but then you had a huge assist advantage if you played on controller.
Yeah.
So that kind of equaled out. There's to me personally, I think if you're doing a professional league or franchise league in particular, you have to standardize everything. I think there should be approved monitors. There should be approved hardware, like controllers, cables, button layouts, overall configurations. Like that should all be stock, and you can't move it in any which way you want. But that's not how leagues are.
Yeah, there'd probably be a lot of debate, especially controllers. There'd be a lot of debate because if you were to try and have a standardized controller, there'd be a lot of people oh, I use that anyway, it's fine. Or but I swear, I'm this much better if I use a SCUF as opposed to an Xbox Elite. Okay. But and there's a lot of people that they feel they head case about I need my controller to do well. And it's if I had to use something else, it's kind of crap. I don't know.
Just adopt, but this is also coming from a guy that has 12 different types of controllers that I play with regularly.
Yeah.
A controller is a controller. You just have to play with it enough times to get used to it. Same thing with a mouse and keyboard. I think everything should just be standardized.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel. It's there's a certain, in the NFL or any US, I guess baseball is the only exception because the fields are different sizes. I think it's different sizes as well in soccer. In English Premier League and a lot of leagues over in Europe, but the NFL, they have standard balls, they have standard helmet sizes, equipment. I think the cleats are the only thing they can really change, but it's usually the design.
Yeah. Most of it, it's there's Jordans. I see Jordan cleats. Yeah. I see I don't know the other brands that are typically out there. It's the one I see Nike the most, I think. I think to a certain extent it's important to even the playing field, right?
Competitive integrity means everything.
Right. Yeah. And for a sport, for an active kind of sport, football or basketball, I think it's important to have, either standards around the balls you use and, some of the equipment and the padding and stuff like that. I think, obviously you need a helmet, right?
Where the rim's at, the size of the rim, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super important. Basketball is the other thing too. Is there's so many different shoes out there, and so people are just but a lot of the designs are sick too. So you want to get get some sick
right.
I don't know. I'm not a shoe head, so I can't think of a name. But you want to get some crazy Jordans or something like that. That's a weird color. Then you're allowed to do that, which I think is really cool. That's something about basketball I like. Is they give besides the jersey, the jersey and the color scheme there, they actually give the players freedom. I think with their footwear, it kind of gives a little creativity. Yeah. Because there's same with football, for instance, there's players that it was a couple players this year that they would wear color cleats and then they would get fined because it's not that you have to wear a certain color scheme, right?
Yeah, and they sometimes it's actually pretty interesting because they were I'll just accept the fine.
Yeah, this is which I think is funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I wish there was more creativity kind of that aspect sometimes, but yeah, I think same for esports though. If you're doing a league, you want some consistency, right? And I think monitors is a good place to start. If you want to standardize monitors, great. Controllers, maybe there's some debate there, but I think I certainly would agree with have some standard hardware at least in terms of the machine the games are running on and the display that's output.
So. Yeah, and I guess what I'm referring to is before we get anybody jumping on us is the professional league in particular. It's if you're at home and you're playing matchmaking or whatever, do what you gotta do.
You just want me.
Yeah, do what you want. But if you're going to an arena tournament or you're participating in an online league, it's you gotta have everything standardized. You gotta minimize as much as possible the variance. Honestly, I don't think you should be playing any online money matches or cash tournaments online ever. I feel internet is just so inconsistent and in a competitive setting, it's not going to work for you. There's so many different things that can happen.
Yeah. I mean, I could agree with that too. I think, I get there's debate there, not everyone can afford the travel costs and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. But I think too, if you're, you could probably do minor money, little tournament things, but like, yeah, if you're doing like something crazy, like you should definitely, you know, have that on LAN. Again, even the playing field, because you can't really do that with online.
Well, true that. Pretty cool to see that Activision Blizzard's actually trolling the cheaters, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about our last article of the episode?
You know,
it's kind of a sad one, but there's not too much to it.
Yeah, you know, I tried to avoid it this week, Mike. I ain't gonna lie. I was like looking around. I was like, let's do some positivity.
Yeah.
But then I saw from The Verge, Alex Heath. That's my last name. What's good, Alex?
I was going to say, that sounds familiar.
Listen.
We just saw Kyle, and now we got Heath.
Not related, by the way. It'd be kind of cool if I had, you know, a cousin or a brother working at The Verge. But I digress. YouTube is the latest part of Google to get hit with layoffs. Oh, no.
Tough.
It's tough,
at least it's only 100 people, I guess.
Listen, we didn't cover this because like this is too much of a downer, but I saw a Kotaku article that covered every single layoff in tech this year. It's like we're 3 weeks in, there's like 3,000 plus employees that have gotten laid off.
Yeah, I sent that to you like a LinkedIn post, and it was like, dude, it's like 20,000 people have been laid off in the first 2 weeks of the new year.
It's wild.
Listen, sorry if you guys got laid off.
Yeah, apologies. It's tough. You know. Anyways, job cuts continue to roll through Google. Yeah, because that's another thing, too. This was not the only division of Google that got hit with layoffs. Like, it was much more. But this time, it's about 100 people from the business side of YouTube. YouTube is cutting jobs on the business side of the house, according to a person familiar with the matter. The news was announced internally on Wednesday by Chief Business Officer Mary Ellen Coe. Like Edgar Allan Poe?
I was thinking the same thing. Okay. Cool name.
Good on you, Mary. Who oversees thousands of people working in areas like business operations, partnerships, and advertising. Job cuts have been hitting different parts of Google since last week, with over 1,000 people being laid off. Shortly after that, hundreds more were impacted in Google's advertising division. Like those previous cuts, laid off YouTube employees will have a short window of time to find another role inside the company. They aren't guaranteed one before accepting a severance package. So,
well, at least there's a severance package, and you can try to get a package. Job within the company,
right? At least Google's they have opportunity. Massive. Yeah, that's the thing. At least they have an opportunity to shift department, possibly, and severance, of course. Which I would hope a company like Google's offering severance. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
I guarantee
you. That would be ridiculous, not for severance. There's not too much more really to this article. It's just kind of the narrative that unfortunately is continuing on a weekly basis of just like job cuts. Still happening.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, we're going to be talking about this, Mike. We're going to be talking about this as one of the running themes this year. And that sucks.
Yeah. You know, this is actually a theme. So at the bottom of this article, the writer, Alex Heath, you said, at The Verge, reached out to a spokesperson at YouTube. And the response was that the layoffs impacted about 100 roles on the creator partnerships team, which is pretty interesting. So the reason why I say that's a theme is Facebook had recently announced that they're also doing away with the exclusivity and major large contracts with live streamers and content creators. Okay. YouTube hasn't officially announced that, although they're going to have it. Twitter announced that. I don't think Kick has announced it. Kick doesn't even care about, they're just in it to lose money to make money for stake. Something entirely different.
That's their whole day. They're just a gambling company at that point.
Yeah. So, sorry, with the YouTube 100 roles reduced from the creator partnerships program, that's basically like, I would imagine partner reps that are talking with the creators on a regular basis. I could see that being a case of like, okay, well, we're not going to have exclusive partners anymore. The big partners kind of know what we're going to do. And, well, not really know what they're going to do. It's just like, they're just going to accept what we're going to do. And I think that's what's changing most about this is the creator side of things. All of it's being impacted, like the live streaming in particular.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting too, with the Facebook thing, you touched on of like, they're getting rid of the big contracts. And like, when I think about it, there wasn't like, there's only like two streamers I can think of that got like huge Facebook deals, and that was King Richard, I think. He's like a old Fortnite creator. He went over there. By the way, when I used to watch his streams, like every now and again, I'd check in his Facebook streams. I mean, he got a bag to go over there, but he was averaging like, I'm not even kidding, like single digit, like 10 viewers. Like it was like nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Facebook Live dropped the ball big time, but I'll let you finish your thought.
Yeah, so he was the first one. The second one was Disguised Toast, which I don't know how big his audience was.
Massive.
Yeah, I would assume so, because I also assume that because I saw an article. I think he won Personality of the Year Esports Awards or one of those award shows.
Yeah.
So like he's obviously like, you know, one of the biggest creators out there. But yeah, so I mean that was obviously W with him. But like I think it's kind of like there's the only two I can think of that were like huge, and I'm sure I missed some. But
wasn't there a GTA role playing person that went over to the Facebook?
I think it was a couple.
Other one that I can think of.
But yeah, I mean, but like, I think we've clearly, they clearly see like, oh, this exclusivity stuff isn't really like a model that works for us. So yeah. I think it's very smarter than just say like, you can stream wherever. Like if you want to still stream here, sure.
But yeah. I mean, I'll give you two examples that I can think of, like personal examples of why Facebook Live is kind of trash now. The first one is that friend of the show Gunshot multi-streams on all platforms, and he was trying to multi-stream on Facebook Live or Facebook Gaming, and he encountered an issue where they were forcing him to like verify his identity and putting in his driver's license in order to stream.
What?
Yeah, so he was like, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. He's like, it's not worth the effort to like try to get in there. My personal experience regarding that is I tried to do the multi-stream thing, and you need a stream key to do that. If anybody's ever streamed before, you need a stream key. Yeah. In order to get the Facebook stream key, they're generated every time you hit live. So you have to go and get on the website, hit live, and then it auto-generates a new stream key, and then you put that in. I'm just like, bro, all I want to do is I want to have a shortcut to open up my chat so I can see it regularly, and then I want to just hit live on my OBS, and then I'm good. That's all I want. Yeah. And
with a platform like Facebook, that's really all you want. Like,
and it's not working, and it's like, okay, so I'm just not going to post anything to Facebook anymore. It's a waste of time. Yeah, it's like Facebook's only really growing in other countries with other languages. They're not going to be looking for an English speaker in North America, so it's like, whatever. And if I'm going to live stream now, it's like, okay, let's just do it on Instagram. And I'm not even that interested in posting on Instagram in the first place. So I was like, okay, so Facebook, Instagram isn't for me.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to go in a different route. And I think that's what's about to happen with Facebook, which stinks, because it's like Facebook Gaming could be super successful.
Yeah.
YouTube Gaming could be insanely successful. And they could both crush Twitch overnight, but they're just lackluster. There's no vision, or there's maybe just not enough manpower in the engineering side.
I don't know, it's a head scratcher, because they could have definitely been successful, but yeah, I mean, then again, you know, like you said, Facebook has other stuff going on, so I'm sure gaming is probably not their highest priority.
No, clearly not.
I don't know, but yeah, I think that's it, Mike. I don't know if I have much else. We end on a downer. I'm sorry, everyone, you know. How the cookie crumbles sometimes with this news stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, especially because the article underneath it is even sadder than this one. I don't want to even talk about it. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, it gets worse.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of layoffs happening at the start of the year, and it's really unfortunate. Hopefully, it's the fact that like companies don't like laying off before the holidays. Hopefully, that might be it. Hopefully it's not, I don't know. I just wish nobody would get laid off, man. It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everybody better get fat severances at least.
That's what I'm saying. It's a nice, it's an unfortunate reality that like we're just seeing more of. And it's like, for those of us that like have jobs too, it's like, I mean, I'm pretty secure with the job I have now, but at the same time, it's just like, you just, you know, it's hard to tell sometimes, and you just don't know. Cause like you see these big companies laying off. It's like, could you be next? I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping and Yeah, I'm hoping my job's secure. It seems to be secure. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I still get recruiters harassing me every day. So
that's what I'm saying. Okay. It's just like, yeah, like my job seems secure, but I don't know. I try not to think about too much.
It seems secure for them too. It's like, stop, yeah. Man.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh.
I got a buddy who got a raise, and then the next week he got laid off.
Yeah, that should be legal. I don't get that. That's wild.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I got to check in on that, man. See how he's doing.
Yeah. Job search going.
Yeah, tough.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's really all we got going. Kind of rambled long enough.
Yeah.
Typical hour 15 minute episode. I think what we can wrap up with and just remind people is like we finally got the Discord bots going. We got the RSS feed rocking and rolling. And if you guys join up, you can grab the feeds at any time. The cool thing is like I can edit it however which way I want, but as long as you have that link, it'll update automatically, which is pretty sick.
Yeah,
so that's true. There's one for mobile and there's one for desktop. I got to figure out why the mobile doesn't automatically update and I have to have separate links. It's weird, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you reminded me though of like in front of the show gunshot. I'm saying this year we gotta start doing some guests again. I want to try and get something going for February. We do. So and we'll have to talk about it.
Yeah, we really needed to try to reach out to some creators. And if anybody's listening, you're like, find us for the first time and you got somebody you might think of, let us know. We'll reach out to them.
Hey, we're down to get new people, you know, old faces, whatever, dude.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Make a note real quick. Anyways, let's let the people go. We appreciate you for tuning in. If you want to see all the links, all the articles that we've covered, the links are in the description below. You can check those out along with social media, Discord invite, as I said multiple times. Now you're probably hearing a broken record. But yeah, I'm Michael Lancy. Kyle Heath, you got anything to add, brother?
No, dude. Said all I need to say.
All right, cool. We'll just let him go. Take it easy, guys. Peace out. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next week.
Keep gaming.
Keep gaming.